2 Kings chapter number 2. Look at verse 11. And it came to pass as they still went on. Isn't that good to know? Sometimes it takes all that you have to just be able to just keep going on. It came to pass as they still went on and talked that, behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it and he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. And he took up also the mantle of Elijah. Read that again. He took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, and smote the waters, and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? When he also had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this morning. Thank you for this powerful passage, so vivid in description, so emotional. Just see the humanity in it, God, but then we see your power in it. Lord, thank you for taking our humanity and interjecting your power, and amazing things happen. Lord, I pray that that would be accomplished here yet again today. Lord, I pray as we open up your word that you'd minister and speak to us, strengthen us. Lord, I pray that you would help us to see our role and your plan, your will, your purpose. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. I love the story of Elijah. I love the story of Elisha. We don't have, you know, we think all these things that Elijah did, but and we think about how God used him. And we think, surely this was a remarkable individual. Elijah is just like you and I. He just made himself available to God. And God said, all right, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to take just an average guy, normal guy. I'm going to do amazing things just because he made himself available. And then Elijah, we see something that does not happen too often in the scriptures. Pastor Seaman mentioned it the other day. We had to remember Eli the priest and then his sons. Remember his sons, Hophni and Phinehas? Remember Samuel the prophet? Remember his sons? King Hezekiah, then his son? No good. Josiah's son? No good. Here's something that we don't see too often. We saw Paul and Timothy. And we see Elijah and Elisha. Two men in sequential order that followed hard after God. Man, what a blessing that is. There was a transfer, and we're going to talk about this, transfer from Elijah to Elisha. And Elisha picks up the mantle and goes forward. The Olympics are coming soon. The Summer Olympics, is that correct? And I love the Olympics. Some of you like the Olympics. Great. I love the Olympics. I don't necessarily like all the vignettes. You don't have to take me to downtown, you know, little podunk town in Pennsylvania and show me where they eat ice cream and all. Just put the sports on, break records. I want to see all this cool stuff. There's people that love the backstories. I don't like the backstories. Anyways, there's a race. And I like those races, and you see them running. And I read something really great, and I think they should do it. I think they should just put an average guy out there. Just for a point of reference. Just so you can see. Because on TV, you have no idea how fast they're going. Wouldn't that be great? We put Brother Odell there on the quarter mile track. Yeah. There he is in the blocks and he lines up. Boom. And he goes. But there's this relay. 4x400. And there's a passing of a baton similar to what we have here in 2 Kings. We have a man of God that has served the Lord for an extended period of time and then transfers to the next person. Elijah is a remarkable man of God. Look at 1 Kings chapter 17. Just a few chapters back, our introduction to Elijah. 1 Kings chapter 17, and Elijah the Tishbite. See, God is doing a work. There's things going on, and he's looking to take a person right where they're at, and use them for his honor and glory. That was Elijah. Elijah the Tishbite. I want you to, in your mind, maybe substitute your name. Because it could have been just as good as you. He just followed hard after God. The Bible says, and the word of the Lord in verse 2 came unto him, saying, and all Elijah does is repeat what God has told him. Just was faithful, did not change the message, just took what God said and just repeated it. Rather, whether it was popular or not. Now, his first decree says, he wasn't making friends right off the bat. But this is what God said. He was simply the messenger. And you know what? Sometimes I feel like that. You stand at the door. Hi, my name's Nick. This is Roy. We're from Walker Bible Baptist Church. And can we give you a gospel track? What is this? Well, this will tell you about how the Lord Jesus Christ came and saved you. I'm just a messenger. God is doing the work. I just deliver the message. You just deliver the message. You are Elijah. Thus saith the Lord. We don't need a big stage. You don't need a large audience. You just need to tell what God has said. And Elijah was faithful. Faithful. When adversity came and the word of the Lord came unto him, he just was faithful to say what God has said. Hey, we would do well not to alter the message. The gospel in itself is offensive. We don't have to add to it. The gospel reveals to us that we are in need. Hey, if there's a feeling of Americanism, if you will, it's I don't need anything. We are the church of Laodicea. We have no needs. And yet, the gospel shows up at our door. The word of the Lord came to us one day. Elijah was called by God, and he did remarkable miracles. I mean, for sake of time, but he announces that. I mean, certainly God does the work, right? But he says, it's not going to rain for 3 years. And you know what it didn't do? Rain for 3 years. Hey, that's tough to do. I mean, you could look at the 10-day forecast, Josh Nichols listening intently. You take that and blend it with Scott Hetzko, and then what does Kevin Williams say? And we look at all of it and say, tomorrow there's a 30% chance of rain. And you could take all that information and go make a prediction. But to say it's not going to rain for 3 years, that was a miracle. He goes out and he announces, hey, it's not going to rain for 3 years. Look at this. In 1 Kings chapter 17, you're right there. It's easy to watch. And it came to pass in verse 4 that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. I'm not sure if you're familiar with a raven. Anybody see a raven? They're like crows. You know what they are? They're scavengers. And to be fed by a scavenger... Number one, to be fed by a bird in itself is remarkable. No, we have birds outside of our house. Pastor Seatman teases me until he got his own bird feeder, and now they're cool. You do have a bird feeder, don't you? How do you have blue birds? They just like it at your house. And I like watching them. But never, and I feed them. Johnny, I buy food for local livestock. And they eat it, and they make a mess, and they do that. Not one time was there ever a knock at my door. Hey, we took a little collection, Nick, and thought you might like something. Never has a bird brought me food. Not one time. And how much more scavengers fed by ravens. 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 24, or verse 14, sorry. 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 14. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail. God works another miracle through Elijah. In this passage alone, there's 4 miracles God does with Elijah. We go through olive oil pretty quick at our house. Man, that'd be a blessing to have that, Cruz. Our kids like egg sandwiches, and they use extra virgin olive oil to make their egg sandwiches. When I was a kid, we used Pam. We weren't even allowed to touch the butter. Now my kids are, anyways. That'd be a blunt. Hey, that was a miracle. God just does remarkable things with Elijah. Causes him not to rain for 3.5 years. He feeds him by ravens. The meal and the cruse of oil never run out. By the end of this passage, he resurrects the widow's son. If we go to chapter 18, he calls fire down from heaven. Now, there's been times I've tried it, I've wanted to do it, but it never was successful. He calls fire down from heaven. Then here, look at this. I want to show you this. 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 38. We know this. This is the story of Elijah against the prophets of Baal, right? This is 3 years after it hasn't rained. 3 years. Imagine the drought. Imagine this. And remember, he says, bring the barrels of water, and he dumps it out over. Could you imagine the value of that? And then he calls fire down from heaven. Verse 38, then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood. Look at now. And the stones. We use stones to line stuff so it doesn't burn. This fire was so hot, it consumed the stones, the dust. It licked up the water that was in the trench. Look at this. Then go to verse 45. And it came to pass in the meanwhile that the heaven was black and the clouds and wind, and there was great rain. Now, he calls down fire by one moment, and then he calls water down by the next. That's remarkable. The miracles of Elijah are something else. And they're packed in here. Like, you just go from one story to the next. No rain, fed by ravens, the meal and cruse of oil, resurrection of the sun, calling down fire, calling down rain. He calls out Ahab and he says, your son's going to die and your wife's going to be eaten by dogs. Sure enough. Go to 2 Kings. This is good. Do you ever read your Bible and just kind of chuckle to yourself? I do. I'll show you. 2 Kings chapter 1. This is one of those stories. In verse 10. 2 Kings chapter 1, verse 10. And Elijah answered and said to the captain of 50. Right, they sent a captain up and said, hey, let's get the man of God on our side. And he sends up the captain of 50. If I be a man of God and let down, and he says, then let down fire come down from heaven and consume thee and the 50. And there came down fire from heaven and consumed him and his 50. And also he sent unto him another captain. 50 was in, with his 50. And he answered and said unto him, O man of God, thus saith the king, come down quickly. And Elijah answered and said unto him, if I be a man of God, let fire down, come down from heaven and consume thee and thy 50. He calls down fire again twice in the same passage, kills 50 people twice. And the fire of God came down from heaven and consumed him and his 50. I'm reading this passage thinking, Elijah has the power to call down fire from heaven. I mean, that's just an obvious thing. And he sent again a captain of the third 50 and his 50. And the third captain of the 50 went up and came and fell on his knee. I find humor in that. Buddy goes up, gets toasted, him and his 50 guys. Second guy gets sent with the same message, does the exact same thing, toasted 50 guys. Third guy gets sent and says, I'm going to approach this a little bit differently. I found humor in that. But Elijah calls down fire from heaven twice and consumes 50 men. And 2 Kings chapter 5, or chapter 2, and here's the end of Elijah. So we're introduced to Elijah in 1 Kings chapter 17. Behold, Elijah, the Tishbite. By 2 Kings chapter 2, Elijah's done. But all a while, here, we'll look at this. 2 Kings chapter 2 and verse 1. Nope, 2 Kings, chapter 2 and verse 8. And Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters, and they're divided hither and thither, so that they two, who's they two? This is him and Elisha now, went over on dry ground. Elijah not only did all these things, he parts the Jordan River, and then he gets caught up in a whirlwind, taken out. Never experiences death. God just translates him, kind of like Enoch. But all the while Elijah's doing his things, God has his eye on Elisha. All the while. And you know, the Lord's work is much bigger than any one individual. We know that. Here we are about 2,000 years into Christianity, and yet it still continues. Because the power of the gospel supersedes any one person. The Bible says that the gates of hell will not prevail against his church. And as Elijah is ministering to the Lord, God is bringing the next person up. That mantle is so significant. We don't wear these things, but it was kind of like a cloak or a loose garment. It was kind of, in Judges chapter 4, it's called a covering. It's referred to that. Oftentimes in the scriptures, you'll see where men rent or tear their mantle as a sign of sorrow or complete distraught. We see that happen in 1 Samuel chapter 15 in Ezra. Ezra does it. Job does it. But I want you to go to 1 Kings chapter 19. We're introduced to Elijah where? 1 Kings chapter 17. Elijah does a series of miracles, chapter 17, 18. By chapter 19, we're introduced to a new character. His name's Elisha. Elisha is just a farmer. He's actually, the Bible says, the 12th man in the plow line. His job is to make sure everything is perfectly aligned. It is his job. His job is not to tear up the hard soil. It has been gone over 11 times previous. His is the final survey. This is a man given to much detail and much carefulness. And there Elijah walks by Elisha. Say, why are their names so close? I don't know. It would have been easier had it been Elijah and Bob, right? I mean, so our poor kids, right, trying to learn these, you know. But that's his name. And while Elijah is working with serving God, God is already bringing Elisha around. 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 19 says, so he departed thence and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he with the 12th. And Elijah passed by him. He says nothing. And just takes off his, almost like a scarf, and just puts it on Elisha and just keeps going. And Elisha knows exactly what that means. This is the transfer or the beginning of or the passing of the baton to Elisha. Elisha immediately, look at now, and he left the oxen and ran after Elijah. Hey, young person. Hey, person, adult. When God comes by and places a job on your lap, it is expedient of you to shift your life to accommodate the calling of God. Elijah comes by Elisha and says, God's got a plan for you. And Elisha says, you know what? I want to finish some things up. You know, I'm in the middle of this field. No, there's no greater calling on your life than God's. Not even full-time in the ministry, not in evangelism, not missions, whatever it is, a Christian school teacher or pastor, whatever it is, faithfulness to God. When God comes by and makes his will known to you, you adjust immediately. And that's exactly what Elisha did. 10 years, Elisha follows Elijah. This story has a significant impact in my life. Almost 13 years ago, I remember standing out in the parking lot
Pastor Huber and I, and we were going into a meeting, and we were talking about bringing Pastor Huber up as pastor, and he said, I'd like you to come by along with me. And for 10 years, I got to be Pastor Huber's associate. And similar, it felt like, out of nowhere, all of a sudden, he's gone. So when I read this, I see a lot more of the emotional. Because I'm old and I'm emotional. 43 years old. These stories touch my heart. Because it's, I know it's not my life, but I feel like it. God has a unique way of showing you those things. And for the next 10 years, Elisha follows Elijah. And we come to 2 Kings chapter 2. Today is the anniversary of when Pastor Huber passed away. Second Kings chapter 2 and verse 8. And Elisha took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters, and they were divided and hither and thither, so that the two went over on dry ground. It came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. He says this, Elijah says to Elisha, if you can catch view of what's going on, if you can see all this, certainly the process or the power of God can be transferred upon you. But if you can't see that spiritual stuff happening around you, you are not worth your grain of salt. You are not worth anything. No, you will not be in the ministry. But if you can see what God is doing, Elisha, get involved, he says. All too often, young people were people that maybe have an inkling for the desire of the ministry, see the stuff that's going on around and say, I'll let somebody else do that. That is a great danger. Hey, if you can see it, get involved. That's why when a young person says to me, Pastor Russo, I have a desire to get involved in missions. Oh, that is important. Why? Because they see the spiritual need of those far away. Hey, if that's your heart and that's your view of things, that's important. Get involved. Well, sure enough, it came to pass as they still went on and talked in verse 11, that, behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and the horses of fire and parted them both asunder, and Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. Exactly what he said. And Elisha, look at now, saw it. Elijah says, if you can see this, sure enough, he saw exactly what happened. Now Elisha is faced with a question. What are you going to do? And he cried and said, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes, and he rent them in two pieces. Do you see the significance of what's happening here? He saw what happened. He takes his own clothes. He peels them off of his... Say, oh, he's just being dramatic. Oh, no, he's not at all. This is a major thing. And he took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. He peels off his will and he takes up the power of God and he says,
See, because Elisha followed Elijah for the last 10 years. He saw the ups and downs. He saw the heartaches of it. He saw the victories, but he also saw the confrontation and the enemies. Elijah running for his life. And yet Elisha still said, see, to serve the Lord is never mandatory. Elisha went purposefully, went and picked up the mantle and said, I will carry this on as best I can. Who is Elisha? He's a farmer that just got by the man of God for a number of years and just said, however, God, whenever, however you want to go, I'm in. And when the day came, he stood by it. And he took up the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he also had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither. See, the same God of Elijah, it wasn't Elijah, it was the God of Elijah. It's never about this person, it's always about the God of this person. I hope you understand that. And Elisha went over. How'd they get there? How'd they get to the spot? Elijah takes the mantle, hits the ground, the water parts, goes across. Must have came back. Elisha picks up the mantle, hits the water, it parts, and he goes back across. And when the sons of the prophets, which were to view at Jericho, saw him, they said, the spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elisha. And they came to meet him and bowed themselves to the ground before him. And they said unto him, behold, now there be with thy servant 50 strong men. Let them go, we pray thee, and seek thy master, lest peradventure the spirit of the Lord hath taken him up and cast him into upon some mountain or into some valley. And he said, ye shall not send. He says, he's gone. See, they didn't see it. It happened right before them. They saw Elijah. They saw the transfer or the transition from Elijah to Elisha, but they didn't see the translation of Elijah. And they're like, we want to go find him. We think you hit him. He said, you're not going. And when he urged them till he was ashamed, he said, send. They sent therefore 50 men, and they sought 3 days, but found him not. And when they came again to him, for he tarried at Jericho, he said unto them, did I not say unto you, go not? You just wasted 3 days. And here the transfer is. And then Elisha goes on, and he does all these, again, amazing things. I want you to consider the future. Turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 6. My question this morning is, not so much necessarily what has happened in the past, but what is God doing in the future? Say, what do you mean? There's going to come another day when the mantle needs to be picked up. I love this story, and I tell it often, usually around my kitchen table. But years ago, I had the opportunity to be in the high school learning center for a number of years. And we were going around the room, and I was asking all my students, what would you like to be when you grow up? I came to Matthew Seatman. Matthew, what would you like to be when you grow up? You know what he told me? He says, I want your job. Some would be threatened by that. That warmed my heart. Because there ought to be a desire to serve God and come in and replace and take the place of, hey, this position is not forever. Who is God touching? Who is God preparing? Who is going to stay faithful and be considerate of the ministry so when the next time the mantle falls, who will be there to pick it up? We have a lot of positions here at church that are not forever. Who will be the next Sunday school teacher? Who is going to be the next? I'm not looking to replace any of our Mrs. Huber, but one day, who is taking the lessons now? Who is learning the faithfulness and the diligence of it? Who is trying to learn how to lead songs and do those kinds of things? Who will be the next? Who will be around when the mantle falls that they could take the vision and the power of God and say, I'll pick it up and go forward? Who will? Who will be the next to care for the lawn? Huh, Grandpa Haight? It's not in 30 years when this is all done. Who? Mantles fall all the time. And if you have a touch in your heart about that ministry or that position and say, God, I desire, hey, the best thing you could do is get around that person for a number of years. We see Elijah doing some great miracles, but we know that Elisha was right by his side for 10 years. Elijah's talked about, not Elisha, until the transfer, but he was there. He saw it all. So, well, I don't get any record. Just get close by. And one day, when that falls, will you be there to see it and be able to pick it up? Are you at Jeremiah chapter 6? Jeremiah chapter 6. Here's the final point that I want to make. Say, you've had points this morning? Not really, just kind of told the story. My points were Elijah, mantle, Elisha, if you're taking notes. I know it's got a nice ring to it. Here's one of the problems with the transfer. Sometimes, and I talk to pastors, and this is real. Good pastors, men that have preached at our pulpit, that when the next mantle is picked up, there's a neglect of Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 16, and it says, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways, and see and ask for the, listen now, for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein. And ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. Hey, there was a group that said, no, we don't want to do that. If I can encourage you in this, stick with the ways that are tried and true. I'm not saying that new ideas are a bad thing. And, hey, you know, we're trying to have a Spanish ministry. We've never had a Spanish ministry before. I know Pastor Huber had a desire for it. Last time I talked to Brother Barnhouse, he's like, how's the Spanish ministry coming? I said, well, let me tell you. And it was great to be able to relay that. But when you pick up that mantle, do not neglect. Do not stop walking in the ways of truth. Deuteronomy chapter 23. I want to show you a couple verses. Keep your hands in. Oh, never mind. You're probably gone. We'll come back to it. It'll be easy to find. Deuteronomy chapter 23 and verse 7. Oh, that is not what I want. Hold on. You know what? Go to, I don't know why that is. Go to Jeremiah chapter 7. I don't know. Sometimes I write some of these verses late at night, like I'll think about stuff and I'll add stuff and I don't know. And sometimes I transpose numbers and I don't catch it. Jeremiah chapter 7 and verse 23. But this thing commanded I them, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your God. And ye shall be my people, and walk ye in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well unto you. When you pick up the mantle, keep going in the same direction. I talk to a lot of pastors that when the transfer, there's a neglect to the old standards, the old ways.
And it's just a short period of time that a church that once had 500 people in it will be down to 80 and 60. I've heard it way too many times for it to be coincidence. Can I encourage you here? Look at Proverbs chapter 22. Should I really turn? Are we going to really look at that? Yeah, I know what you're thinking. Proverbs chapter 22, look at verse 28. Remove not the ancient landmarks which thy fathers have set. There's some wisdom to the generations before that walked with the Lord. The Bible reminds us in Ecclesiastes that there is nothing new under the sun. And if we would stick with God's ways, but what happens? Well, God's people get led astray from His righteousness and rely, listen now, on themselves. What made Elijah so straight-laced? He relied on God. And so Elisha did too. And Elisha, if you count them up, does at least double the amount of things that Elijah did. And if Elijah could look over, I don't know how it all works, but look over, you know the phrase, the banister of heaven, he would not have been threatened, but all the joyous. But God's people, when can stray from His righteousness and rely on themselves. That's the deserting of the old paths. Number two, they become materialistic and greedy for gain. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 6. First Timothy chapter 6 and verse 7. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. What happened? He's talking to Timothy here. He says, Timothy, as you seek to follow God, be careful not to get consumed with materialism. It will destroy you, he says. What happened? Some people wander from the old paths. Mark chapter 8, verse 36 says, what shall profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Leaving the old paths, we stray from the righteousness of God and rely too much on ourselves. Number two, they become materialistic and greedy of gain. Number three, try to substitute religious duties for a heart of God. There's nothing better that you could do as you pick up the mantle is to take this and just apply it to your heart and put it to your ear. Say, what is it, God, that you want me to do? What is it that you want me to say? There's no new way. Oh, no, there's this new great way. No. Just stick with what God said. So who will pick up the mantle? Who can see the need? Who wants to prove the Lord at His promises? Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein. And ye shall find rest for your souls. Matthew 11:29 says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. And it says, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. We're praying this morning, John chapter 10. My sheep hear my voice and they follow me. The best thing we can do is, yes, if we see the mantle fall, to be there, to be faithful, to pick it up. Go forward with it. But we too need to listen to the heart and the voice of God. Let's all stand.